This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nasta'khfiruhu wa nuhminu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shurur anfusina wa min sayyati a'malina. Ma yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa ma yudlil fala hadiya lahu. Wa nashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu. Wa nashhadu anna Muhammadan 'abduhu wa rasuluhu. Salawatu rabbihi wa salamuhu alayhi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa man da'a bi da'watihi ila yawmiddin. Amma ba'd. Beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. It's nice to see some people are here. I mean, in the cold, mashallah, may Allah reward you abundantly for the sacrifice you're making for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, the topic for today was tayammum, based on the Quran and Sunnah. So this may be quite a different experience for all of us, in that we are not going to quote Imam Shafi'i or Abu Hanifa or Ahmad ibn Hanbal or any other of the scholars. We are just going to quote the Nabi alayhi salatu salam and the Quran wherever it is applicable to the time. A man came to the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. They said it was a bit of Arabi, it's a Bedouin. And he said to the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Mata sa'at, ya Rasulullah. Mata sa'at, as-sa'at. Sure you all know what sa'at means? Watch. You know. What else does it mean? When is the day? The hour. Meaning the last hour. When is the last hour? Now, nobody could have given him an answer and worked out something to say to this man than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what did the Prophet say to him? Did the Prophet say to him, why do you ask the question? I don't know. Did the Prophet say to him, let's see what the Prophet said to him. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied to him by asking him a question. Prophet said to him, Ma a'adadta laha. What did you prepare for it? What did you prepare for it? So it's not about when or how, it is about what did I prepare for it? And I would have given, if I was that man, I would have said, well, I make salah, I done this, I do this, I do that. He said none of those. He didn't mention salah, he didn't mention sadaqah, he didn't mention zakah, this man, this Bedouin. He didn't say any of those things that we may have said. All right, what did he say? He said, Hubbullahi wa Rasooli. He said, when the Prophet asked him, what did you prepare for the last hour, for the day of judgment? What did he say? He said, Hubbullahi wa Rasooli, the love of Allah and His Messenger. He didn't say, I went for Hajj 3 times, I was in Makkah 5 times. I used to wear my kurta, go to the masjid every day. No. He said, I have prepared for the akhirah, and my preparation contains 2 things. One is love for the Prophet ﷺ, and the other is one is love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the other is love for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what did the Prophet reply to him? With a short conversation. That's a big question. Matasa'ah. You know? If somebody should ask him matasa'ah, I'd say, you know, look at Pakistan, look at the floods. You know, I looked at it the other day, somebody sent me a clip, you know. I was never so shocked in my life. I thought this was akhirah. You know? And if you've seen the clip of the water, how it just, you know, it comes down like, not rivers, like triple rivers. And it just demolishes. I think, how do you say it? It just demolishes the houses on the side. And at the end, there's this river going, and in the middle of the river, there's this big black house of water that is just stuck in the middle of this river, and the river is going around it. And I thought, you know, I sent a response to my children, I said to them, so What did Allah, what did they do that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put this bala on them? What did the Pakistanis do for this kind of test? The test of Nuh alayhi salam. This is the same test as Nuh alayhi salam. What did they do? And I said to my children, go and look up Surah Nuh. Go and read Surah Nuh. This time you read it really to understand what it says and why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent the deluge or the flood. Immerse the whole world in water. And we always say, you know, what do we say? You know, it's the weather changes and this and what else? What else do we say? What are the common words that we use?
Climate change.
Nobody says it's Allah. I've not a single person saying to me, there's climate change. No. Climate cannot change by itself. Climate has been created by someone and changed by someone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the climate, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is changing the climate, and this is what we're seeing. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses this to warn us of the Sa'ah. To warn us of the Sa'ah. And I always think, you know, why are we in South Africa, we don't have these things? Are we waiting for, is there something in waiting for us also? Should we prepare as Muslims particularly for that time? Should we change our behavior? Should we change our love for Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and for love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And how do we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How do we love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What must we do? How do we go about? Isn't it when you make salah you love Allah? Isn't it when you put salawat in the Prophet you love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? That's minus 50% of what you require. Minus 50%. You haven't yet started on the first rank of the ladder. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and we know that love for the Prophet is what? You can't embrace him. You can't see him. So how do you love him? You know, if you say, tell him, do you love your children, your grandchildren? He says, I love them. I hug them. I kiss them. You know, do you love them? Yeah, I hug her. I kiss her. I tell her I love her. And so forth and so on. Your husband. You say that. Somebody asks you, what do you like to eat? He says, oh, I love this. And he really means it because you can see his lips is already getting wet from thinking just about the food. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, talking about this man's love, Allah says, in kuntum, and what surah is this? Surah Ali Imran, verse number 31. Ali Imran, verse number 31. What does Allah say? In kuntum tuhibbuna Allah fattabi'uni. Sahaba used to say, oh, Muhammad, we love you. So they come to him and say, oh, we love you. Of course the Sahaba said, and they really loved him. And they truly loved Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What does Allah say to them? Despite the fact that they are immersed in the love of the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what did Allah tell them? Allah says, if you say that you love me, Allah directs the love of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam by himself. He says to the Sahaba and to us, if you say that you love me, fattabi'uni. Allah says to the Nabi, tell them, if you say you love me, fattabi'uni. Then follow me. Follow me. This is not just, follow me means follow me. You know, if you follow whoever people follow on the internet or whatever, they say, yeah, no, we follow that person, and we love him. So and so on YouTube, you know, we love his lectures, you know, listen to all his lectures, etc. So similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Sahaba, to us, follow me. Will you follow me? What does it mean, follow me? What did Allah mean? Tell them to follow you. To follow him in his what? In his sunnah. To follow Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in everything he did and not to follow anything which he didn't do. Not to follow anything which he did not do. Obviously, that's what it means. That's what it means. It means you should follow him in everything he did. And everything he did was who commanded him to do it? Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So when you follow him and you're obedient to who? To Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Isn't it? And if you disobey him or you overlook, you are, you know, this is what I'll do, and this is what I think I should do, and this may be better. I'll make it more reward to do this, because if a prophet did it 3 times, I'm going to do it 30 times, because I have time to do it 30 times. But the prophet only did it 3 times. Or this thing I'm doing is, why can be wrong with this that I'm doing? What is wrong with this? I put salawat on the Nabi. I praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is wrong with that? Did the prophet do it? No, then there's a lot wrong with it because not part of the sunnah. If you invent things that you think is better to do than what the prophet commanded, then there's a problem. Because he was the ultimate example. He was the ultimate example. Uswatun hasan. I use the wrong word. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the correct word. Allah says, he was the best example. He was the best example. So how can I ever deviate from following him? When he was the best example. When are we very proud of our children? We love them. When they do what? When they listen. Not achievements. Achievements can go that way. Achievements can go that way. And achievements can go absolutely. Oh, he was the best example. So when do we love our children? When they follow what we say. Yeah. When you ask them to do something, they do it. We are the most proudest parent, the happiest parent. Well, that child, I can ask him for anything. If I ask him to come now, he comes now. Not 3 days later. If I ask him for 50 rand, he doesn't say, well, I'm seeing what I got. You know, children. Don't ask him for 5,000 rand. I mean, he'll say yes, but you know. Say, Daddy, well, I didn't have, but then why didn't you say to me you didn't have? Okay. So, that's a practical example of us being happy with our children. They do what we ask them to do, and they follow. And they follow what we teach them. فَاتَّبِعُونِي. What will happen if you do that? What will happen if you do what Allah says, follow Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What will happen if you are obedient to your parents? There's also obedience to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Same thing, obedience to the parents. Mentioned in the Quran. Be kind to them. What does Allah say? What's your reward? إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبَكُمُ اللَّهِ. I tried to find this form of hub. Biba. Yuhbiba. Double. A double B at the end. Yuhbiba. Double ba. Hub is called only one. Hub is love, means love. Uhibbu. What do we say? Uhibbu. أنا أحبك. I don't say أنا أحببك. أحببك. I say, I don't use a double bar. Why do Allah use a double bar? I'm still searching for the answer. I don't know the answer. I tried this morning to find it. I couldn't find it. إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله. Allah says, Allah will love you. You follow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah will love you. 90% of the people will hate you, but Allah will love you. What do you want? Choose. You follow the sunnah? Nobody loves you. You follow Allah? You follow Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Allah says, the Prophet wasn't loved by his own people. These people are going to love you. Allah doesn't only say he's going to love you. Allah says, وَيَخْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. And I will forgive all your sins. And we want our sins to be forgiven, so we hang on somebody's. We say, oh, that man is a pious man. Oh, that man is this. Look at him, you know, he looks like a pious man. Maybe he's a very pious man. But Allah doesn't say anywhere in the Quran you must follow a pious man. Allah says, follow who? Muhammad. Allah doesn't say anywhere in the Quran, you must follow this man. No, 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 no. Allah says you only follow one man. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you have another man, you're in trouble. If you have another man you follow, you are in big trouble. You're in trouble with who? With Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يُحْبِبَكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. Allah says that He will forgive all your sins. Because that's why people follow that other man. Because the other man promises them also Jannah. He promises them also, if you follow me, don't worry on death, Qiyamah, I will send for you. Astaghfirullah. Wallahu ghafurun rahim. Then Allah emphasized, Allah says, Wallahu ra'ufun rahim. Really, Allah is the most ghafur, forgiving, and the most merciful. Don't bring me any other person. There's no other person that's more forgiving and more merciful than Allah subhanahu. We have to get this right. This tawheed, we have to get right. If we don't get it right, we don't get nothing right. So, what is the opposite of following Muhammad? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith that Gharib is part of it. Gharib is a famous Allah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, There will come a time when this deen will again become gharib. What does it mean? It becomes strange. Example, today's topic, I wrote the topic. Tayammum based on the Quran and Sunnah. I would have said, with my background being a Shafi now, what does he mean? What does it mean, tayammum based on the Quran and Sunnah? What about the madhahib? What about all the other great scholars? Can you compare to the Quran and Sunnah? No. All right. So the Prophet ﷺ said, this deen will become strange. Bada ghariban wa sayaudu ghariban. This deen started strange. Started strange. And will again become strange. And then Nabi Salam said, and glad tidings to the strangers. Glad tidings to the strangers. Those people will say, never heard of that. Strange, you know? Strange. When the Prophet came and said, La ilaha illallah, people of Makkah, they're very intelligent people. They were leaders of the Arabian Peninsula. It's a very strange philosophy this man is doing. We don't understand. So, today I'm going to put what I said in the heading, Tayammum based on the Quran. First of all, when I said based on the Quran, I meant follow who? Follow Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what did Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam follow? He followed the Quran. That's all he had. In other books. I've got a library full of books. Now I look at it now and I think, I should just get rid of all of them, just keep all the books just on the Quran. But of course, one need to go through a process before you get to a result. I want to put into perspective why I said in terms of Quran. Imam Shafi'i, all the four Imams, Shafi'i, who came first? Hanafi, Imam Abu Hanifa, who came second? Imam Malik, Ibn Anas. Imam Abu Hanifa was where? Where was he? He was in Iraq. Imam Malik was where? Say, okay, I'm going to punish him. Where was Imam Malik? Where? Medina. He was a Maronite colleagues. So it's Abu Hanifa, Malik, Shafi'i. Where did he come from? He came where did he come from? Where was he born? What was his home territory? Gaza. He was in Jerusalem. Well, today we say it's Jerusalem, but that's where he was born, in Gaza. And finally, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. Where was he based? Where was he born? Baghdad, Iraq, modern-day Iraq. Okay? So they were quite spread over the Middle East. Let's see when they lived. Let's look at when they lived. In which area did they live? Imam Nu'man ibn Thabit, he was born in 80 after the Hijrah. 80 years after the death of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was born. Where was he born? He was a Kufan. He came from Kufa in Iraq. Anybody know anything about Kufa historically? It was, but what was the most important part? It was Ali's capital, yes, correct. But Kufa was built at the instructions of Umar ibn Khattab. There was no Kufa. Until Umar, he built it. And that was the barakah of Kufa. And so all the scholars used to levitate towards Kufa. But that isn't part of our discussion. We're not doing history today. And he died. How many years do you think he lived, Abu Hanifa? He lived 40 years. For 40 years he lived. We achieved what all of us in this budget and maybe in the whole world didn't achieve in 80 years. 40 years, can you believe it? And over those 40 years he was a child for all of us. So maybe he says he was a child for 6 years or 5 years. That means he only had 35 years. He had such an impact on the world, subhanAllah. So much so that empires enforced only his Muslim empires, like which empire? Only enforced the Hanafi madhab. Which empire was that? Which empire only said, no other madhabs in this empire? They didn't say no. They just enforced the Hanafi madhab, which is which empire? The last empire, which is who? Barakallahu fik. The Turkish Empire. In Arabic known as the Ottoman Empire. They were Hanafis, Hanafiyan Quh, as they say in Arabic. Pure, unadulterated Hanafi. Anas ibn Malik was born 93 of the Hijrah. He died in 179 of the Hijrah, so he became an old man, 86 years old, mashallah. Number three, Abu Abdullah Muhammad ibn Idris al-Shafi'i, was born in 150. So where does it start? 80. Person 80. Well, he was born 150 and he died in 204, so he was 54 years old. Also achieved, subhanAllah. I mean, I read his books. I still read it. I love his books. I love to read his books. But he was very detailed. Very, very detailed. In extreme detail. Whatever he wrote. To 54. He was eventually died where? In Cairo, in Egypt. Then there was Ahmad ibn Muhammad Hanbal. He was born in 164 and died in 241. So he was 77. So the eldest of them, the longest living of them was 86 years. Now I just remember two dates. 80, that was when Imam Shafi was. When he was? 80 after the Hijrah, Shafi was what on that? What happened? No. Abu Hanifa. He was born on that day. And the last of them died in 241, which is who? Ahmad ibn Hanbal. So they lived, the four Imams lived between 80 and 241. How many years was that? I wanted to do the calculation. I said, why did you ask your students to tell you exactly where they count that? 161. So in 161 years, these four brilliant men of fiqh came on the scene. So it was an intense, 61 years, is it? 161, like an intense 161 years of fiqh with the best men around town. They concentrated on that. Now let's go to the six men of hadith, half a dozen. Six men of hadith. Who were they? First one was? Was? Al-Bukhari, Imam Al-Bukhari. And they were not called sheikhs or maulanas or presidents, whatever we call. The highest form of respect and the highest form of people of knowledge was called Imam. Imam Shafi'i, Imam Abu Hanifa. Today, we call him an Imam in Cape Town. He said, excuse me, I'm not an Imam, I'm a maulana. Yesterday was a maulana. You meet him tomorrow and say, no, I'm a sheikh. That title didn't exist. It's a new modern title that the Arabs had brought. Anyway, so Bukhari was number one. He was born. So when did the four Imams live? Between which year and which year? I want you to remember that. 80 and 241. 80 and 241. Okay? So you have, that's the four Imams. 80 after the Hijrah to 241 after the Hijrah. Now we start at 194. Do you already notice something here? Overlap. There's an overlap here. So how old was Imam Bukhari when Imam Abu Hanifa died? Imam Abu Hanifa died 120 after the Hijrah, and Imam Bukhari was born 194 after the Hijrah. So which means there was a gap. Overlap, but there was a gap. In other words, the people of Hadith, the greatest people of Hadith, didn't live, came after the greatest people of Fiqh. So which means Imam Shafi, Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Malik, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal did not have what we had. Did not have what we had. This is a book they could never have had. This is a book. This book is called Al-Lu'lu wal-Marjan fi mattafaqa alayhi shaykhan al-Bukhari wa Muslim. This book is called Big Pearls and Small Pearls. What is this about? Big Pearls and Small Pearls is what Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim agreed upon. All the ahadith, the two of them agreed upon, is in this book. Imagine they had this. The most authentic hadith in the world that all Muslims recognize. And I'm not even saying Sunni Muslims, I'm saying Muslims. They were the greatest of the hadithu. And this is the best book. I think this book was only printed and done in 2002. It's not so old. 2002. If you look at when they lived, if you look at when Bukhari lived, 194, and Imam Sahih Muslim, Imam Muslim was born in 206, only how many years later did they pen this book? So Imam Bukhari was born in 194, died 256, he was 62 years old. Young man, I mean, in terms of how we look at ourselves. Sahih Muslim, Imam Muslim was born 206 to 261. He was only 55 years old. And he achieved more than Imam Bukhari. Imam Muslim. Because he had something to build on. The foundation was there, so you just have to build a house, isn't it? So he could achieve more. And then we come to the third one. An-Nasa'i was born 215 and died 303. He lived for 88 years. So always one of them will live for 88 years. No. Anas ibn Malik lived 86 years. 88 years. Then we go on to Abu Dawood, 2002 to 275, 73 years. We'll do this quickly. Tirmidhi, 209 to 279, exactly 70 years. Ibn Majah, 209 to 273, 64. So the last of the six died in 273. His name was Ibn Majah. The first one of the six that was born was Imam Bukhari, 194. So we have a period of 206 to 273. How long was that period? Wait a minute. Wait a minute. No. And Nasai died 303. That was the longest living. So it's between 194 and 303. How long was that period? One hundred and nine. All right. The top one was more or less the same. 120 something. The top one was 161. All right. So we can see now that the ulama of fiqh, I want to repeat this, did not have the privilege of the books of hadith. All the hadith Imam Shafi had to go look for. He had to find somebody who knew the hadith. He had to walk somewhere to find the hadith. Same with Abu Hanifa. And same with the others. Now we come to a modern day scholar. So that puts into perspective. What does it tell us? It tells us we are now in 2000 and... Say 2000. So 80... I'm going to do this. All right. It's more than 1,000 years ago, I think, that these people lived. More than 1,000 years ago. So we have accumulated another, say, more plus minus 1,000 years of knowledge. Books of Bukhari published. So many books have been shot. Hundreds of thousands of books have been written on Islam, on Hadith, on Quran. And I always ask myself the question, if Imam Shafi Abu Hanifa had this book, just this one book, would the madhab still have been the same? For example, if I presented Imam Shafi today, and I said to him, sir, this hadith was narrated both by Imam Bukhari and Muslim. Do you accept this hadith? Of course. Of course he would say. Why? Because it didn't exist in his time. The knowledge we have is always, in terms of the hadith, it's complete. There's no other outstanding hadith somewhere in somebody's drawer, or somebody's brain, or somebody's library. No, we have it all. Sahih Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, and in the publication of the six Imams. So we are far ahead of Imam Shafi and Abu Hanifa because we know more. Similarly, our children are far ahead of us. I already feel out of place sometimes with the little knowledge I have when I speak to the youngsters, and they use terminology that I have no idea what it means. No idea. But I smile and I say, yes. So what do we have? So what should we do now? Particularly now, we should confine ourselves. We should read Shafi and read Abu Hanifa. But what way should we go for our final answer? Must go. We have no choice. We have to go. And even if it wasn't, we still have to go to the hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right. SubhanAllah. Imam Shafi said, if you find a hadith which is contrary to my madhab, then you take my hadith and you throw it against the wall. Then you take my view that I had, throw it against the wall, and I'll throw it away. And take the hadith. So what we're going to do is to follow them. All of them said that, exactly in the same words. Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Shafi, they all said, they had to say that. Like I would say to you, if there's authentic hadith, whatever I said, throw it away. If there's an ayah in the Quran that says, and I say, condemn that, declare me bad. Declare me insane. Because only an insane man will have opinion above the what Allah has said about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm not going to have enough time for this day. I'm not fully today, but all right. So, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. There are quite a few new things that the old people with grey like me know about tayammum. But I can tell you, to base your knowledge in the Quran and Sunnah makes life so much simpler. to follow the Quran and Sunnah it cuts out 70% of the difficulty. And I always say this, because this Quran and Sunnah is meant not for people who study at UCT. This Quran and Sunnah is meant for the majority of people in the world who can't even read and write. Isn't it? Qala Allah ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is first the Quran. First we quote the Quran. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wa in kuntum marda, aw ala safarin, aw jaa ahadin minkum min al-ghaid, aw lamastum an-nisa, falam tajidu ma'an, fatayammamu sa'idan tayyiba, famsahu biwujuhikum wa aydikum min. Now this is a very, very important subject of Qiyamah. Because as Haji knows and I know, and Haji they know, Haji they know, all the great people, we have to. There's another one. Haji Dawood, Abu Bakr Dawood. He's probably one of the oldest students that I can remember. I think I just came back from Cairo. So, For more than 50 years. He ran away from me sometimes because I was too sick. But then he came back. I'm saying, not true. So, what does the Quran say about Tayammum? And all of you will use Tayammum at some time in your life. All of you will use Tayammum. Every one of you. Every one of us. We may have a patch on our hand, or we may have, we're sick, we've got high fever, difficult to take up dust. Because what does the Quran say? In kuntum marda, Allah says. Now you must listen very carefully, because this is not Imam Shafi wrote this. In kuntum, and I'm not saying anything on Imam Shafi, but Imam Shafi was a very detailed man in his explanations that he gave. Because he had to apply his mind. There wasn't much, so he had to apply his mind a lot for the four imams. That's why they were considered so great, because their minds were so great. They applied and extracted from the Quran and Sunnah what nobody else could do. So Allah says, "Wa in kuntum," if you are ill, Allah says, "Aw ala safarin," or you are traveling, "Aw jaa ahadun minkum min al-ghaid," or one of you comes from the toilet. Oh, la mastum an-nisa, or one of you have touched a lady. And here the interpretation is la masa either means to have relations with that person, your wife, or it means touching a strange person. Some interpret it as touching. Imam Shafi says, if you touch a strange woman, you must take wudu. And if there's no water, you must take tayammum. Imam Abu Hanifa says, no, you can touch a strange woman, you don't have to take wudu. Wudu is not broken. But we'll see what the Prophet says. And he says, that's what it means. It means touching. Abu Hanifa says, no, I interpret, and both interpretations are correct. Falam tajidu man. So if you're sick, or you're on travel, or you've come from the toilet, or you've touched a strange woman, or you've had sexual relations with your wife, falam tajidu man, and you find no water. What does Allah say? Just say it with me. So say, and you find no water. What does that mean? Anyone? Just quickly. There's no water. Where? No. Where? Where would you say Allah is meaning to say? If Allah says there's no water, what does it mean? Huh? What? In the desert? No. This is not for the desert. This is for people who live in Toronto and in Canada and in London. This is meant for everybody. Falam tajidu ma'an, and he doesn't find water. Where? Come now. If you're inside the house, then inside the house. Wherever you are. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Falam tajidu ma'an. He doesn't say where. So it means wherever you are. And for whatever reason, there's no water. Does Allah say you must go and look for water? No. Does Allah say you must look for water? No, Allah just says, Falam tajidu ma'an, can't find water. So you're inside your house, your water's been shut off. But you go outside your house, you go, no. There's no water inside. If you're in the desert and you look at it, you look like there's no water. Don't say you must walk 3 miles south and 3 miles north, like some of the scholars say, 3 miles that way. No. The reason you're taking a tayammum in the first place is not to what? To make things difficult for you. Isn't it? Tayammum is just. So if you're going to add something to that which makes something difficult for you, take away the whole purpose of tayammum. The scholar said, no, you must look for water. And you must look for water until the end of the waqf. And just before the end of the waqf, if you still can't find water, then you make salah. Then you can take a dua and make salah. All right? That was the interpretation. They may not have had the hadith, but we will come. We will get the hadith in this book. First we read the Quran, then we get hadith. See what Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said. That's the final word on the interpretation of the Quran. So Allah says, فَلَمْ تَجِدُوا مَا. You don't find water. فَتَيَمَّمُوا. Then Allah says, then take tayam. In other words, use dust. Okay. And Allah describes with what you must take up dust. Or with what you must take tayam. سَعِيدًا طَيِّبًا. Good earth. We'll add clean. Allah doesn't say clean. Allah just says good earth. Because clean, the word for clean is tahir. Allah says good. Now, you see, if I had Imam Shafi's text with me now, I would just have read what he said about this. What kind of earth it must be. It must be dust. The dust must sit on your hands. That's everything. But now what do? We say what Allah says and we only look at what Allah says. Allah says, make tayammum with good earth. I'll explain what Sa'id means later on. فَمْسَحُوا بِوُجُوهِكُمْ. And Allah says, rub your faces therewith and your hands. Does Allah say your arms? What did Allah say? Rub with it. Your faces and your yad. Yad is from year to year. Aidi is plural from year. Allah says, I'm not saying, how do you know? Yad. And AD is the plural. So Allah says, rub your faces and rub your hands. We will get to know how we should do that. So, any questions so far? It's not quoted yet, so we'll have to go and look it up. So, Suratul Nisa. I must stop spoiling you. But now you have a reason to go and look at that verse. You have a reason now to go and look at the verse. All right. So there's nothing in the Quran which says anything about talab, seeking for water, looking for water. So, the absence of water does not include, says the alim. Oh, let's say something about this alim. Yeah. The name of this alim. That wrote this book. This alim wrote the original book. It took him, he says, he worked on the original book for 40 years. For 40 years. No, he wrote down. He told me to write down Salat and Zakat. He would only use the Quran and Sunnah. And then he wrote this book, At-Ta'liq al-Rabiyya al-Rawd al-Nadiyya. Oh, Rawd al-Nadiyya. So what does this mean? This means the notes, important notes on my book that I wrote. So what he did was he went through his book, copied a number of volumes, and read it again and looked at his mistakes and corrected it, rectified it. Only a real alim will do that. A real scholar does that. He says, you know, I said that a year ago, or I wrote it there, no, that was wrong. you know, and I corrected it, and I'm not correcting it for you. So it's all right. I'm trying to remember what I did, but I, okay. وقد وقع منه صلى الله عليه وسلم ما يشعر بما ذكرنا. He says, what we have mentioned now about what the Quran says, we also find in the hadith of the Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم. فإنه تيمم في المدينة من جدار كما ثبت ذلك في الصحيحين من دون أن يسأل أو يطلب. This alim whose name is Al-Albani, Shaykh Al-Albani. He is the modern day Bukhari. Al-Albani, subhanAllah. He was born in Albania, that is what we call Al-Albani. And he died in, I think he died in Lebanon. Died in Lebanon? I made a note somewhere. No, he died in, you know, lately he died, he didn't die too long ago. Where did I make a note of it? Oh, Albani, 1999. He died in 1999 and he was 85 years old. Al-Albani. He was a watchmaker. His father was a watchmaker. That was in Damascus, I think. Yeah. See? These great scholars, they all have professions. All for themselves. He says, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he took tayammum, he took it against the wall. He did that. Yes, it was a wall made of clay, but it was a wall. In other words, this sa'idan tayyiba, this earth which Allah speaks about in the Quran, is not only earth which is flat, it is whatever comes out of the earth as well. Whatever is made from earth and is above the earth. Part of the earth, isn't it? I'll explain to you later why Allah SWT doesn't use the word clean earth. Why clean is left out. Alright. So let's look at the Sahihain. He says, what the Prophet ﷺ says is the same as what Allah says in the Quran. So we'll hear, does Nabi ﷺ say that you must just wipe your face and your hands? What is the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Let's open the mystery book. Somebody must translate this beautiful book. I have to learn Arabic again. Maybe I should start it. Ammar, you know Ammar, Ammar ibn Yasir. A man came to Umar ibn Khattab, he says, and said to him, Inni ajdamtu falam usib alma. He said, I have had a dream and I don't find water to take a ghusl. Faqala Ammar ibn Yasir li Umar. I think this was during a battle. This was during travel. فقال عمار بن ياسر لعمر بن الخطاب. So عمار said to عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه. أما تذكر أنا كنا في سفر وأنا وأنت. He said to عمر, do you remember the time when two of us were traveling? We also traveled. وأما أنا فتمعقت فصليت. As for me, Amr ibn Yasir, as for me, I rolled myself in the dust and I'm it. Così tu te amo was, like you take wudu. You te amo was, you must your whole body must be covered in dust. Like you put the water, you took na. So he rolled himself in the dust and he made salah. فَذَكَرْتُ لِلْنَبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ So when we came back to Medina, we asked who? Who did we ask? The most beloved of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَقَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ And the Prophet replied, the Prophet responded, what did the Prophet say? إِنَّمَا كَانَ يَكْفِيكَ هَكَذَا The Prophet said, You should have done only what I'm going to show you now. He didn't explain to Ammar ibn Yasir. He said to Ammar, I'm going to show you what you should have done, Ithira, for rolling yourself in the sand, or in the desert, wherever they were. فَضَرَبَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ بِكَفَّيْهِ الْأَرْضَ وَنَفَخَ فِيهِمَا This is knowledge you have to transfer to other people. So where is this hadith? By who narrated this hadith? Who of the six people? Which two? Bukhari and Muslim. What are they called? When we refer to them, we say muttafaqun alayh. Hadithun muttafaqun. If you hear the Imam says from the minbar, muttafaqun alayh, what does it mean? That both Imams, these two Imams have narrated hadith. In other words, it is absolutely every, they can give account of every man from the Prophet to them who had narrated the hadith. You got that? It is called Hasanun Sahih. Hadith is called sound. It's called sound hadith. The what? What do they call it? The chain of men? What do they call it? No, what is the chain called? Isnad. The isnad of the hadith, the chain of the hadith is absolutely, we know every person. We don't know, they not only knew every person, but they also knew his character. And what he did his whole life. He wrote autobiographies on every single person that they used for writing that hadith. So, Ammar ibn Yasir says, The Prophet Daraba. He hit his hands. He didn't say anything. This could have been against the wall because it's from Medina. In Medina. وَنَفَخَ فِي بَدَنِي Blew on it. The excess dust that may have been on his hands. Because the idea is not to dirty your face or your hands. So you can't put your hands in the sand, in the dirty sand, and just, no. And say, well, baraka. The idea is to clean this up. You, all the excess that is on your hand, you blow it off. Then what did the Nabi do? What did the Nabi Sassan then do? Thumma masaha bihima wajahahu wa kaffayhi. This hadith is also in Bukhari, so you can look it up in Bukhari. In this hadith number, I think it's chapter 7. There you will find it on Google, you can Google it. You can just Google Ammar ibn Yasir and time. Tuma Masah. Then he said the Prophet rub Bihima with his two hands like this, he rubbed his face. Then what did he do? He rubbed his hands. What did he do? He rubbed from here to here. My whole life I've rubbed from here to here. What's wrong? You follow the mujtahid. There are hadith which is some hadith. The man who wrote this kitab on Tayyamu, he says, I will not take a weak hadith. No. All the hadith I will use to establish my proof will be hadithun Sahih. Hadith and Sahih. Hadith at different levels. This book contains all the hadith agreed by Bahu, Bukhari and Muslim, and they're all 100%. There's no like little bit of, there's a little bit of doubt on this man, a little bit of doubt on that man. This is pure. This is like the fish oil that we bought when I was a child. You know, you go to the barber shop, you go buy fish oil. The mother sends you for 2 pennies of fish oil. Then it's fish oil. It's a real fish oil. I say, you see, rest of fish oil. If I was saying, if I was speaking in the dead language. All right. There's 2 hadith dealing with this, but I want to quote for you both hadith. There are 3 hadith in fact. The next hadith is by Abi Al-Juhaym Al-Ansari. And the hadith goes as follows. Abu Jahm aqbala al-Nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam min nahwi bi'ri jabalin falaqiyahu rajulun fasallama. This is how this hadith goes. This hadith goes that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had come from the direction, this man says the Prophet is coming from the direction of a well called the wife of the a well called the well of the camel. That was the name of the well. The Prophet is coming from the well, coming towards him. And he greeted the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He greeted the Nabi. فَلَمْ يَرُدَّ عَلَيْهِ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. The Prophet didn't respond to his greeting. You must find out why the Prophet didn't respond to his greeting. I'm going to tell you. Next week. If there's nobody here, then I know none of you have done any research. فَلَمْ يَرُدَّ عَلَيْهِ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Prophet walked past him. Strange. You have to greet his father, do you know? حتى أقبل على الجدار. He says the Prophet walked until he came to a wall. There was a wall. Again, فمسح بوجهي ويدي. Then he rubbed on the wall. He rubbed his face ويديه. Can he rub his? ثم رد عليه السلام. Then he responded and gave and said to the man, Wa alaykum salam. I know the answer. I'm not going to brag. I know the answer from previous readings. So next week? You know the answer? No. We're busy here with the hadith sahih and the Quran. Do you want to come? You, huh? Let's put that on the back burner. Because it's a very important answer. Why the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did that? All right. Have you learned something so far? He came from a well. But the well was probably either too deep or there was no water. I think those 2 things. Either deep, he couldn't get the water out, or it was, so it was dry. So there was no water. any other questions? Maybe we should take a few. Any questions? Oh yeah, before I end, let me just narrate to you. Don't make a run yet. Okay, all right. Anybody want to ask? You want to ask a question? Somebody want to ask a question? I thought somebody wanted to ask a question. Okay. Yeah, the new people, but please write your name on the list so we can send you notices for the lecture. Really? Surah An-Nisa. 443. So it's 4?
No, 443.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
In the absence of
yes.
Yes. So
yes.
Then
yes. Yes.
And if you were to be in the state of Yama, that's at the end of the ayah,
yes.
You take the Yama.
Yes.
So that instruction
yes.
Does
yes.
The reconcile
yeah. That is that instruction at the beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ola mastumun nisa. Ola mastumun nisa means Ola mastumun nisa has two meanings. One is that a person has sexual relations with his wife and there's no water. So there it starts. And also at the bottom, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, where Janaba mentioned in the verse. And you said at the bottom of the verse. You said so.
No, it was at the top.
Oh.
The reference is made to the common mentions when you are in a drunken state or in a state of Janaba.
No, that's what the verse I quote.
No,
the drunken state is not in that
it's
verse.
It's earlier on in the verse. I have
it here. Oh, okay.
Can I give it to all of you?
No, all right. No, I understand. Shukran. Shukran. So it's mentioned twice there. La Masumun Nisa and it's mentioned when you say this mention. No. Alhamdulillah, you know. I'm not going to say that. But we understand that. We understand that. If you need to take a bath and there's no water, whether it's from Janaba or nothing else, you can take it. You don't feel in the place. But I will explain what this concept of dust actually means, how it is interpreted. What does it mean when Allah says Sa'id? Allah doesn't say Turab, Allah uses a special term, Sa'id. Sa'id means that which is above. So the earth covers the whole, sand covers the whole earth, or whatever is above the earth, whatever it may be. Whether it's a rock, a mountain, a wall, whatever is built from the earth, is part of the earth. Somebody wanted to ask a question. Sitting here to ask a question about last week's lecture. There's a lot of questions in my mind also about last week's lecture that I wanted to talk about. Is there anything in particular that anyone here wants to ask me about last week's lecture? Because last week's lecture was also an important lecture. Nobody. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد ان لا اله الا انت ونستغفرك ونتوب اليك